The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
It is the day before the National Signing Day, and most of Nebraska's players are already signed. So why is Husker 24/7 convening here to talk to you about what is coming on Wednesday? Because there's still news. There's always news. There's always recruiting. And because we're 24/7, what else do we do? Welcome in. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Michael Bruns, Brian Christofferson, National Signing Day Preview Show 2024. Gentlemen, are you fired up for tomorrow? Do you have the Bruns? Do you have like all the coffee like ready to go set out? You know, like I don't know how many pots you go through now. I don't even know if pots is the right term. I don't know what goes higher than pots and coffee. But do you have that? Are you going to be ready for this day that is ahead here?
The second signing day, you roll out of the rack a little slower. Like there's not this frenzied, like it's like bonus signing day now.
Can I offer a comparison?
There's not the same sense of urgency, which means there's less coffee, I think.
Here's my comparison for what second signing day is. It's when you have like that third family Christmas with one of the sides of the families, and it's usually like 2 or 3 weeks removed from actual Christmas. And like you're all getting together and you're exchanging gifts, but it doesn't feel like Christmas, and it feels sort of forced is the word. But you have good memories associated with the times where it didn't feel that way. And, you know, the kids are running around and acting like it's the same thing as it's always been. But in the back of your head, you know, this is not the deal. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, I think you're in the neighborhood. It's like you're trying to recreate the magic, but it's a little bit harder to do that. Like you're probably going to end up with some more socks, which is nice, but it's not the same, and you're probably having to fit it in between like work and things like that. So I think you're onto something there.
Yeah. BC, you know, what fascinates me, BC never covered a 1 year only signing day with Husker 24/7. When he joined, it was the first year of the double signing day. So we never got the experience of what BC would be like on a day in which everything was slated to happen all at the same time. And all of your commitments needed to make it there without being lost, or shipwrecked or whatever analogy we want to use before you got to that signing day.
Yeah. I didn't know that. When did that
2018 class. So okay, December. So Scott Frost's first off season.
Okay.
Your first year with us was the Bob Diaco year.
Yes.
Which is how everyone remembers it. BC leaves to go to join Husker 24/7 and Bob Diaco joins Nebraska. Those two things are linked forever.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for attaching me to that. Yeah. So, well, I guess that's kind of a bummer. We didn't get to go through one of those traditional February deals because I like tradition, like Fiddler on the Roof and stuff like that. But, the one I remember most, you're probably going to ask this question. But all right, you go ahead. Just ask what you want to ask. I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to intercept, like step in front of a pass here and try to get a pick six.
Okay.
Before I should.
We'll get the banterish stuff out of the way before we dive into what Nebraska has at stake tomorrow. But I was planning to ask these gentlemen, what memories do you associate from the time when Nebraska just simply had the one signing day? Is there one in particular? Is there a signee or a signing ceremony or a day in particular that you remember above others? And so I will now throw this at Brian Christopherson, who seems very interested in this question and might have an answer ready to go.
It's attached to you, and I don't really want to say the prospect's name, nor can I necessarily think of the name. The night before.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. The night I get choked up thinking about it. It was an emotional night. And the night before signing day, you reported correctly that somebody wasn't going to be in the class, right? Is that what it was?
Yep.
And so I was at the newspaper at the time, and you were first on it. You got the little scoop. He wasn't going to be in it. And so I was trying to track down at like 11 p.m. on Tuesday night or something, if that was accurate. And the kid gave me a different answer, I think. And so I think I reached out to you guys or someone, and I was like, hey, just so you know, I believe Schaefer's story. And I know it's right, but this is just what the kid said. So here's what it might be in print, but it's like not a jab at you that you're wrong and trying to do that. So that's one I remember. And I also remember, I can't even say his name, but Oamogbe Odihijua, and how badly they wanted him. And then I thought they were going to get him. And they ended up picking UCLA. And I kind of remember Bo going in on him a little bit for picking UCLA, like a little more than coaches normally do for a guy.
Yeah, that was a 20. That was 2010.
Yeah.
It was the 2010 signing day. I remember that one because I was still in school and I had an internship class type thing where I worked for the state capitol, or I was working at the state capitol for the legislature. And they had these jobs where basically like senators would put their call light on and they would need you to run to get papers from their office or whatever it was. And I'll leave the senator's name off, but he knew that I wrote about sports and we had had conversations before. And he saw that I was next up in the queue to go help whoever. He puts his call light on. I come over there. He's like, hey, I need you to step outside and get all the information you can on what's going on with Nebraska signing day right now. They're in the middle of this debate. I don't remember what the topic was, but he was so thoroughly uninterested by the debate that I was tasked with going and getting information about whether Corey Cooper had signed or not, because the cell phones at that time did not always work the best inside the rotunda and the legislature there. So I stepped out and I brought him the news of Corey Cooper signing during the middle of this debate, and he was quite fired up. So
that's, well, he's a multiple year starter, you know. So
yeah, no, the OWA decision I think happened in the afternoon. It was like one of those where Nebraska had to wait around to find out if this guy was going to be in their class or not, and they ended up not getting him. So you mentioned before, I want to say it was a 2014 class Brunson's shaking his head.
No, I'm just shaking my head because that was like the class from hell. Like,
oh, the 2014 class.
Yeah, like that recruiting cycle. I just remember being like, "What are we doing here?"
I don't mind just saying the recruit's name. I mean, I wrote about it, and people could look it up if they want. And he went on to play where he did, but it was Willie Sykes.
Oh yeah, Willie.
was the player, and he was committed to Nebraska at the time. And I had gotten wind that that commitment, there might be some potential signing day shenanigans. And so I reached out to him, and you know, you identify yourself as a reporter, and he, you know, agrees to talk, and as he understands that I'm going to report this, and like this is all very clear. And he basically tells me that he's going to flip from Nebraska to Arkansas because he, because Arkansas has an affiliation with Walmart, and he was going to be a business major, and they had really sold him on the fact that he could get an internship with Walmart, and Nebraska didn't have any Fortune 500 companies like Walmart that could help him in his future career as a businessman. And you know, this was the answer that was given to me. I don't remember exactly how I wrote it up because I don't think I went in deep as that. But so I write this story and I put it out there, and of course, you know, it's big news. It's the night before signing day, and a kid isn't going to sign with the team that he's committed with. And within 25 minutes, he calls me back and he's like, "Hey, could you not run that?" And I was like, I'm sorry. I mean, it's already out there. He's like, "Okay, that's fine." And then he proceeded to tell everybody else that would call him that he wasn't, that he was going to sign with Nebraska. Like it was I felt terrible because I had pretty much made clear like what was going to happen. And it was one of those where I don't think he understood how quickly this news was going to travel. And how quickly, like, and maybe he thought it was going to be a newspaper story that was going to go up the next day. But yeah, I mean, it was one of those where I felt genuinely bad, but at the same time, I mean, we had discussed what exactly was going to happen. And and then it just led to this sort of weird deal. But yeah, that was Willie Sykes. I don't remember the exact class. I think it was 2014, but I'm not positive on that.
Yeah. It's funny sometimes the 11th hour, like hand-wringing over certain players and stuff that goes on. And it's like, I mean, it happens to be because of the timing, not so much that player was going to be like a great player or anything. But I do remember that one. And I also remember when we weren't working together yet, calling Brunts about a particular recruit's coach that I was trying to.
Same class.
Was it the same class?
Yeah.
I was trying to reach a coach.
You guys were working together before you ever worked together.
It was Chris Jones.
That's the beauty of it.
Chris Jones. Was
oh, yeah.
It was. Yep. Down in Jacksonville. And
Coach Geis.
Was it? It was a lowrider. He had a lowrider ringtone. And I called the number I thought was the coach. And I just needed affirmation that was accurate because no one answered or something. So I was like, "Brunts, this doesn't make sense. This guy's the coach? Is his ringtone lowrider?" And which I it's fine, but I was just a little surprised. And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's him." So yeah, that must have been a fun class to cover. I'll have to go back and look at all the names that were in it.
DeAndre Wills. That was the same class. Yeah. Remember that?
Oh man.
That was the trio from Louisiana. There was a lot going on that year. I think that was also the Terrell Clink scales recruitment too, if you remember that one.
I think that might have been the next year because you're right, that was that same year because that was they had the defensive lineman from New Jersey. They ended up losing to Ohio State after Bo swung the hat and said, "If you want to fire me, fire me," and it looked like he was maybe on his way out, and teams started working on Nebraska's commitment list. And one of the guys to jump was that New Jersey defensive lineman who I think he's a public commit at that time. I can't remember the name. There's too many of them. But, yeah, I mean, signing day has definitely been rife with different things going on. You know, and even it's still true even with the early signing period. But that one-day event always felt like just an absolute – battle. Like I remember I would be getting up at like 4 a.m. We would have these like big long profiles written or different things that we would post when guys would sign. It wasn't as simple as it is now where schools have the graphics and everything that go up right away that basically just alerts you to this is happening. So you'd be sending all of these texts to try to confirm with the kid or with mom or with coach that the NLI had been sent off. And, you know, sometimes you would have a parent that would tell you yes and the coach would tell you no. And it was, you know, I don't really miss the single signing day. And it's a lot easier now in the way that social media has made it than it was necessarily in 2013, in 2014. So, Brunch, you have any signing day specific memories?
Well, that class, that 14 class, that was the Travell Dixon class too, where he very late before signing day, like 2 a.m, decided that he was going to go to Nebraska. I'm trying to think if there's any others that really stand out. That class, that one was a battle, I felt like. Was it the year before that where they got like 13 commits in the span of like 30 days? The 13 class. That was
where one of those ended up being Kevin Maurice, I believe.
Yeah. So that one stands out. I'm sure there's others. I mean, it wasn't necessarily signing day, but it was around then with Jameer Calvin, you know, was in, out, in again, and then out. He had a nice career for Washington State and later Mississippi State. But I don't know. Those kind of late Pelini years, I remember being particularly we were chasing a lot of really weird things.
there was a run with Riley too. It might have been his first full class, or it might have been his first full class, where it's like Elijah Blades and all of those guys, Diamador Lenore, they're all making basically like late January decisions. And I remember Nebraska ends up getting Elijah Blades, and it's this big win. And he never ends up like even getting on campus because the academics were what they were. He goes to junior college, is like the number one junior college cornerback in the country. Then he's at LSU for a minute. Then he's at Texas A&M. I think he was in the portal multiple different times. I don't know if he ever really finished out his career, but that was another one of those sort of signing day wins. That was a big deal at the time. All right.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
we've gone down the memory lane. Let's take you to what's going to happen on Wednesday. Nebraska does not have a lot of space left, and yet they continue to turn over rocks and find different players. We'll start with Keona Wilhite. Brunts, what do we know about Keona Wilhite, and what are your sort of thoughts on what this addition would mean if Nebraska picks up a signing day signature from the defensive end in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, kind of the one of those guys that got caught up in the coaching change wash this past year with the movement there. In particular, I think guys that were committed to Washington, I think, you know, there was a little bit of hesitation to just kind of go along with what, you know, with Fish and his staff there. I know they've been able to keep some guys, but, you know, UCLA, Nebraska were kind of the two prominent schools there. And just to kind of preview things, I guess, you know, earlier in the week, it seemed like things were trending pretty well for UCLA there. Then you have the news come out midweek that Chip Kelly's been linked and actively interviewing for a number of NFL offensive coordinator jobs. And, you know, I think that kind of came at a time when, you know, that there was still a decision to be made. So, you know, Nebraska hosted him for an official visit. Michigan State also hosted him, UCLA. But I think, you know, Nebraska has a pretty good plan for how he would potentially fit in that defense. And, you know, I think Tony White's kind of flexed his recruiter muscles a little bit there too. You know, he was out multiple times to see Wilhite and his family. And, you know, I think when you kind of look at his size, I think we list him at 6'5", 240. That's a guy that, you know, can probably get on the field sooner than later and has the type of frame that you can really grow into, you know, either a defensive end or kind of keep as an edge with the talent that he has.
Yeah, it feels like a nice potential addition if Nebraska does land it. And like I said, it's trending that way with what we've sort of been hearing. They had such a nice defensive line class in 2023, and then I think Ashton Murphy is their only one so far in 2024, depending on how roles, you know, divide out for some of these other guys. But I think adding a Keona Wilhite is just continuing to backfill at a position room that looks so different now than it did at the end of the Scott Frost, Mickey Joseph tenure there in 2022. He's not the only one, though, and he's not the only defender. BC, you were on this one last night. What can you tell us about Kamir Prescott?
Yeah, Kamir Prescott, defensive back out of Philadelphia. Let's see, he was in Nebraska for the spring game. Is that right?
Yes.
Had been committed to Wisconsin at one point in the process, but it decommitted back a month or two ago. And it kind of went quiet, like as far as publicly on what was going to happen with him. But Nebraska had a good relationship established, you know, that dated back throughout the whole cycle. And I think that was at play here. Obviously there's good NIL opportunities and for a guy like him. And I think you're kind of getting a late steal that maybe people weren't expecting like a week or so ago, but you look at like how he was recruited and the type of schools that wanted him. One of your rivals was after him in Wisconsin. It's a nice get. And also, you know, he's from the area where this staff has familiarity with in Philadelphia. Like I think they're always going to be able to make some hay with Rule having coached at Temple and some of those guys' background there in that city. So this is another example of that. So it seems like a good get if he ends up raising his hand, which I'm kind of thinking he will as of signing day eve here.
Yeah. I just don't have a lot else to kind of add to this. It looks like Nebraska could add a couple more defenders to their class. And I think it's a situation where they really utilize this period as well as you could expect. They're able to get some transfer portal guys that are already on the roster. They're able to put themselves in position to potentially add a guy in Keona Wilhite, who was signed somewhere else. And they took advantage of a deal where his coach left and they offered an opportunity, and it's a good fit, I think, if it were to work that way. And it might be the same with Kamir Prescott, who decommitted from Wisconsin late in the first cycle. So I feel like this is kind of what I expect going forward, guys, with this second signing period. I think Nebraska will have most of their work done. And then it's a little bit of kind of turning over rocks and seeing what's available and being flexible. And I think that's something that they're going to be able to do pretty well. It feels like they never stop with recruiting, which is a really nice thing when we just spent a lot of time talking about how they signed like 30 guys in 31 days or whatever it was, or got however many commitments it was in the month of January in 2014.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, too, is I think whenever you kind of get – Nebraska's getting to this point. I think they're almost there. But when you get to a point where you're not having to, you know, really go hard into the portal to kind of paper over roster deficiencies, it really does kind of make this January open recruiting period more about what you can do for future classes and kind of setting the table to where – the ball gets rolling down the hill a little bit earlier. I mean, you've done evaluations on guys that are towards the top of your board. You've kind of gotten a feel for where guys are at with their recruitments early on. And you kind of start making those offers. I mean, that's the benefit to having continuity and having a roster that, you know, you're trying to build and develop rather than just kind of filling holes with the portal. So, you know, you didn't see much attrition in the off season. And, you know, I think Nebraska has been pretty smart about filling needs. I know, Brian, you were asked about this on a radio show this morning about, you know, was there any area that they really didn't address or get better at in the offseason? And I think they've done a pretty good job of addressing most areas, you know, kind of coming off of last season and what they've done over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, receiver was the big one. And then when you get those portal additions with Banks and Nair, made everybody feel a little bit more at ease. I mentioned linebacker because I do think people are still kind of wondering like what it looks like, not so much at the jack spot, but your more traditional middle backer with Reimer and Henrich gone. But they've got interesting guys in this class that where if one of those first year guys like a McGahee or a Vincent Schaefer's, who it got posted the other day, is up to 215 pounds, has already added 10 since arriving. If one of those guys makes a push, you could feel okay about your two deep there, but all in all, on paper, you'd have to say they, as Brunts says, check the boxes, for the most part, with stuff. And I also think like, if let's say they get two additions on Wednesday, the way those are, those came, I think is the formula for the future. Like you'll have basically your whole class in play. And then you got one example of a guy who they had a relationship with that, okay, he kind of ended up being still out there in Prescott. And then you get that example of which you're always going to get two of now, coaching changes or something that happens. And there's going to be maybe one guy you're like, man, he'd really fit. You know, we've got to squeeze the numbers a bit, but he could make a difference, like what happened when Kalen DeBoer went to Alabama. So I think it's like the perfect example, honestly, if those two guys end up saying yes tomorrow, of like how it's going to work most years, where there's like two or three additions and they kind of come in the way they came this cycle.
All right. I didn't prepare you guys for this, and I'm famous for doing that. We're going to finish now kicking it forward just slightly, and we'll have more time to do this, of course, but I want you to call your shot now. Who is someone not committed to Nebraska for the 2025 cycle that you think will sign in the 2025 class?
Not
obviously
committed.
You know, you can go wherever you want with it, but give me one name. Michael Brunts.
I'm trying not to go with a local guy because I feel like that's kind of cheating a little bit.
It's also hard to just throw it out there with somebody too. You don't know what's going to happen, but
yeah, I think Nebraska keeps Christian Jones home. I think
okay, that, look at that.
I think they keep
a local
home.
Guy top 247.
And I'll give you one regional.
There
guy.
We go.
Here you go. I think Nebraska will be in it for a while. I don't know if he's going to ultimately say yes, but I think they're going really hard in the paint right now for Corey Sims. wide receiver out of St. Louis, Nebraska legacy. I think he's towards the top of their board for wide receivers. And I think he's at least a guy to watch. I mean, I think with the amount of energy they're expending on recruiting him, I think he's worth keeping in mind.
BC, you got a name?
Sure. I mean, I think they're, first off, I do think they're going to largely clean up locally with whoever they offer. Right? 'Cause what I think they're doing so well at is getting ahead of the game with how many people are treading into Nebraska's territory from other programs, looking at prospects. The Huskers are not responding so much to what others do as I think they did in previous staffs, as they're setting the tone with offers. And so I think that's going to serve them well. It's interesting the name Brunt said, because this is a long, maybe it seems like a long shot, but we want to be bold, right? Isaiah Mosey is a guy that I thought, like, just from, you know, he was here on that one visit back when Raiola was here. And I'm just using him more as an example of, I think there's these certain guys from the 25 class that were sort of connected to that experience or a little bit tied to that, that I at least have my eye on. And I'm not going to say he's going to end up here. That's not my, I know that's what you asked, but I do think there are going to be a few of those that were linked to sort of that 24 cycle from this next one with Ryle and stuff that end up being at Nebraska, the one or two. And so he's just a name I mentioned to use that as you know, something like that.
All right. I am, I'm going to go out there a little bit and I will give you a signee that is not local. That is so not local. He doesn't even live in the continental United States. Here is a prediction for you. I believe Nebraska walks away with a commitment from Aiden Manatee from Hawaii. I can't even pronounce his town that he's in, but he is a safety. I think Nebraska is going to get two players from Hawaii in the 2025 class, because I also like their chances with Houston Kahina Torres, a interior offensive lineman from St. Louis. Nebraska has been recruiting him. He is connected to the Raiola family. He was as excited as anybody when the Huskers were able to pick up Raiola. And he is, he's, I think, got a relationship with Preston Taumua as well. So I like the Huskers to potentially add two players from the islands in the 2025 class. So we'll, some predictions that we can look back at and laugh upon when, you know, it doesn't go right here in a year's time, or we'll just forget that we ever made and we don't have to face the music for it. That's the beautiful thing about putting out all of this content. You do so much of it, you can't always remember it. Anything you guys want to say before we sign off here? Beatsy.
No, I'm sure we'll nail all those predictions, so I won't even worry about it. You know, so yeah, I feel like I kind of do miss the old February signing days a little bit, but not that much. Not that much.
Do not miss. Brunt.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what signing day is going to be like in a couple of years. Like, I don't know how this model, like, is sustainable with the college football playoff expanding and portal and everything else. Like, it feels like it's probably going to move again, and whatever is the first signing day will probably be the new signing day. And we'll think back to the wonderful times we had in late December. But yeah, I don't know. It feels like we're headed towards maybe a summer signing day of some sort, but we'll see how that goes.
I strongly encourage and support an August 1st signing day, and just make it easy. Get it done before the senior season starts. Big win for everybody. But believe it or not, I will not be consulted for that sort of decision. If you're looking to make a decision, if you're looking to make a good decision, and you're not already an annual VIP subscriber, you can get 60% off right now an annual VIP membership. This deal goes through Wednesday evening. Give yourself a chance to get all of the VIP news before anyone else. Be the guy that's texting your friends and telling them stuff before they know that it's even happening. You can do that with Husker 24/7. We got a deal going right now. As I said, 60% off for any new annual VIP subscriber. We got a lot of stuff going on here at Husker 24/7. Obviously, finish up this 2024 class, but you've got 2025 on tap if you're into recruiting. Basketball is looking to do some things here. Baseball is about to get underway. And, of course, the second year of Matt Rhule will feature the Dylan Raiola experience. And I promise you we will have plenty of coverage of all of that when spring football fires up here and even before it does. So be sure to get to Husker 24/7. Get signed up if you haven't. Lots of people jumping on this deal. It really doesn't get a whole lot better than that. So for Michael Brunt, for Brian Christofferson, I'm Mike Shaver. Tomorrow is National Signing Day. Enjoy it. And stop by Husker 24/7. We'll have plenty of content for you to read and enjoy.